Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? Every Wednesday on the Low Blows Network, the Low Blows team are at hand to break down, analyze, and make fun of all things pro wrestling. Hosted by former pro wrestler Rick Nash.
I think the only reasonable thing you can do now is turn John Cena heel.
Selfie with me, fucking dog.
Banned from Nigeria. I will be talking to the government tomorrow.
YouTube star Corporate King.
This elephant has four legs. Joe Russell's four legs. Joseph Stalin, if he had two more legs.
Bonesaw rips off his shirt, yeah? And it says, Chuck Yerlaw, big dirty toy boy.
And the queen of Irish wrestling, Katie Harvey.
I won't win society. Just CM
I'm
Punk.
I'm embarrassed. CM Punk.
It's Low Blows. Bravo!
Tato were forced to delete an unfortunate tribute to the late and great Gay Byrne, who we'd like to reiterate. Not Tato's tribute, like our own. This is our own unique tribute, a nice one, an absolute legend and behemoth of Irish broadcasting history. A guy who, and this isn't what Tato said, we'll get back to that, but a guy who, like, when you look at, it's not just like what he did in broadcasting, which was great. And like, even like, you know, as someone who does a bit of media myself, like I like read up on a lot of the stories of him behind the scenes and how diligently he was prepping shows and whatnot. But like, in terms of the culture of Ireland, when you look at, like, for example, recent progressive things we've done, like, you know, the gay marriage referendum, same-sex marriage referendum, the repeal the AIDS referendum and whatnot, and things that we're proud of, you know, It kind of goes over, I think, a lot of younger people's heads, because Gay Byrne would be seen as elderly and part of the old establishment Ireland that they're kind of rallying against. But if you were there and you kind of got to experience some of it, like, and because I'm fucking old, I do remember him hosting the Late Late Show. He helped bring that about. He helped take us from, like, the dark ages, the Catholic-led country, and, like, because of his, like, you know, instinct for, you know, having his finger on the pulse of what wasn't being said in Ireland at the time, he helped to kind of, you know, realize that people wanted to talk about these issues that the church wasn't letting us, whether it upset us or not, whether it upset people or not. He put them out on the biggest TV show, and that's why it got a reaction and helped drag us into the modern progressive society we have now. So someone very important lost. Unfortunately, Tato did not sum that up in the best way. They put out basically a picture of Mr. Tato looking sad, which immediately got absolutely shat on by all of Twitter. Well, heresy, not heresy, whatever you think yourself.
Yeah, well, the Nordy Tato lad is still smiling. I think that's way worse, you know what I mean? Like, he's there smiling when, like, you know, one of our, like, main people dies.
Why is he smiling?
Well, Nordy, well, I mean, he wasn't sad, was he? So...
Nordy Tato. Who's Nordy Tato?
What do you mean Nordy? You don't know Nordy Tato?
No, I've never heard of a Nordy Tato.
You've never seen...
Is that
seen
what they're called?
Hang on a minute. I know, again, I know this is a podcast, I'm sorry. But have you ever seen Tato up north? It's different. They have their own... they have their own Tato.
I didn't even think
mascot.
They had Tato.
What? They do. And it's different to ours. Hang on a minute. Wait till I show you this.
Is this just... Is this a joke? Is this real?
This is not a joke.
I'm like, look, are you going to show me Tato except he's orange or something?
Oh, I have seen this because they look like skips and it really confuses me. Oh, yeah, I don't like that.
Look at that little weirdo.
Looks like Mr.
Oh,
Chip.
I have seen that. That is weird. Yeah,
fucking
no.
Fucking sex offender looking cunt. Anyway.
Help me come from Gay Byrne.
Anyway, he didn't seem too bothered by it. I think that's way worse. You know
right,
I mean?
Fair.
I thought it was a nice tribute.
Yeah, so, oh yeah, that's what I was getting at.
I thought it was creative.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at, but I didn't want to say it because I was like, I didn't want to get shot on. I thought it was a really nice tribute.
Yeah, but like, again, like, I think people just were like, not now. They took it as kind of ripping the piss a little bit. I'm not defending what they thought. I thought that was a bit of, like, people looking to be offended, if I'm being
yeah,
honest.
Like, how else can they say they're sorry? You know what I mean? It's Tato Man.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I thought more so people were annoyed because it got that turned into a meme instantly. So it like took away from the meaning behind it.
Yeah, maybe. That's fair. But
I guess this ruins the momentum of the opening question. We'll pretend it was bad for the sake of the question.
Spoilers. But guys, as we get kicked off here on another edition of Low Blows, Rick Nash, Katie Harvey, Corporate Keen in the house as always. What are some other bad tributes, surprise, surprise, in pro wrestling history that you can think of?
So as usual, I didn't have a clear answer for this, so I do what I always do in that situation. I Google it.
Right.
Google threw me up something interesting, right? It's not your typical, a wrestler has died, here's a tribute thing. A lot of people get tattoos as tributes.
Oh no!
What?
Oh, I don't know where this is going. Like.
So I googled bad wrestling tributes, and the first thing that came up, right, is this person, right, who has an entire full back piece of a cartoon Hulk Hogan that was done about 10 years ago. It doesn't look like Hulk Hogan, and now he's got a racist on his back. So like, it's like a two pronged attack for how bad a tribute it is. In the real world, it's got me thinking about a tattoo where this wrestler I know loves wrestling, loves it to bits. And in her infinite wisdom, chasing a WWE tryout, or WWF as it was at the time, got a half sleeve of just the WWF, you know, the scratch logo. Oh. An entire half sleeve of that logo on her shoulder.
Oh no.
And then would go out and like just wrestle matches on the indies and like... Just branded herself thinking like, they're going to see how much passion I have.
No.
They're going to see how much heart I have. And they are going to they're going to need me.
Oh.
And that was the rationale behind it. Because I said to her, I was like, what possessed you to get that? I just love wrestling. And I think WWF will see my dedication when they see this tattoo.
No. Oh, I just feel bad for her because they're just going to look at it. Well, like, you know, you could turn around yet and say, and that girl was Becky Lynch. But, you know, I don't know where this is going. But like, you know, like, I think they're just going to look at that and they're just going to think it's a bit marky.
Yeah, they were not overwhelmed by it. Yeah. And currently she is not signed.
Well, I hope she is. Look, if I ever see a girl out there with a WWF tattoo on her shoulder, I'll be cheering her on just out of sheer, like, sympathy more than... Corporate Key, question before we get to the question. Do you know who Gay Byrne is?
Yeah, no, yeah, obviously.
Okay, great. Yeah. Okay, thank God.
And that's the same about Gay Byrne. He actually looks the exact same years ago.
Yeah! Now, like. He's been that age since I was a child.
Yeah! It's mad, like.
There was a stage where, like, he had, like... brown hair, but it looks like a wig. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, and it's like, that's not Gabo. Take it off and be the real Gabo we know. He feels like the nation's granddad though as well. Like, it's a genuinely sad thing where it's like, he's genuinely like the nation's granddad, like, where we all kind of feel that.
I went through a phase of hating him.
Okay.
When he hosted The Late Late, and me nanny would mind me. And she was, I don't know, very typical of a nanny where she would have the TV on, but she would instantly fall asleep.
Yeah.
And then you try to change the channel. But somehow she'd sense you were changing the channel and she'd wake up and scream at you and be like, I was watching that. But your eyes were closed. I was resting them. I wasn't asleep. And she just like, and you couldn't turn it off. Like, so like every Friday night was like 8-year-old me sitting there watching The Late Late Show while my nanny was clearly asleep beside me. So yeah, I went through a bit of a love-hate relationship.
All right. That's fair enough. I didn't know where you were going to go.
Yeah,
where,
yeah, like, no, no.
Well, that's understandable.
Like, Spotty's still warm, Katie. Let's not go there. You know who I hated? Gamer. And I was like, let's not go there. That's fair enough.
I learned to appreciate The Late Late Show, and the toy show is always a big part of growing up. So,
of course, yeah, it is. It's really sad. But Corporate Keen, bad tributes in wrestling.
Mine isn't funny. Mine's horrible. But I couldn't think of any other answer.
Right?
You know when like minute silences go wrong?
Oh God!
It's, or no, sorry. In this case, it's a 10-bell salute because it's wrestling. This is just horrific. They basically did a 10-bell salute for Eddie Guerrero in CZW, mid-2000s CZW. Drunk fan.
Oh,
it is this. Like, they're doing the 10 bell suit, and at one point, this lad decided in his infinite wisdom that for the perfect, like, this would be the perfect tribute to just for. I don't know, I don't really get the message, but he just decided to go, fuck that shit! And everyone then after that was kind of like, fuck you, but then they're also like, do we continue to silence now, or do we not? So there's kind of this awkward, like, conflict of like, and then as soon as the silence was over, everyone immediately runs over to him and is like, get the fuck out, you know what I mean? But it was so, like, it's so awkward. I hate when, or do you ever see football matches where it's like a fucking silence, and you hear, like, you know, the opposition.
Mirror for some! No, not like, now, not Derek.
Like, for fuck's sake. Like,
yeah.
No, again, it's like, I'm not saying it's funny. It's not, but I couldn't think of any other answer.
To be fair, enough times passed, though, as well. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was, well, not similar lines. Minus the more obvious one. You know, I thought Raw's Own and Raw's Eddie are two, like, testaments for, like, they're like, almost historic television, because it's like, you know, people, co-workers coming out, and, like, you know, while the feelings are very raw, but still, like, kind of gutting it and, like, gutting it out and, like, letting that grief show on television and cutting heartfelt kind of tributes to people, at, like, their co-workers and stuff like that. It's very raw, it's very emotional, but very real, and it kind of, it helped us deal with those two shocking deaths. It helped us process them as they were happening and let us be sad. Like, so I think credit to WWE for that. Raw is Benoit, on the other hand. It doesn't really... Now, I watched this live.
I watched it live, yeah.
Yeah, it was a surreal experience, yeah. Because it started out like, you know, shock and awe, and it's just like, obviously you're going through the emotions. Like, we'd just seen him win, like, a couple of years beforehand, win the title at WrestleMania, and we'd been on that emotional journey with him. And, like, for me, that was the moment that made me decide to, you know, I'm going to be a wrestler, I'm going to go, I'm going to train now, I'm going to look it up, like, so that, like, had personal resonance to me, so I'm grieving, and then, like, it just took a weird turn halfway through the show. But if you didn't know, and we didn't have Twitter back in the day, so, like, we couldn't necessarily find out, like, it was only the next day where it was explained, like, you're like, why are they being weird? Because, like, all of a sudden, like, it went from the first half of the show was just like, bam, wah, bam, wah, bam, wah, to the crowd. Obviously, word broke in the crowd as the story started to develop. The crowd just being like, there's 20,000 of us here, and we're all really sad and confused. And then, like, JR and, like, Jerry Law, oh, my heart went out to them on commentary, having to be like, we're celebrating the family of Chris Benoit. And this was like, why are you celebrating the family? Like, why would you not, like, I'm really emotional here. And it's just like, oh, awkward television. Like, it was like, yeah. Now, what could be done? Do you know what I mean? Like, I see what they were going for. And a couple of times they've done it before. But I think that's why we don't have Raw is, you know, wrestler who's passed away anymore. Because, yeah. Like, even the only recent example I can think of where someone did around the same time who would have been relevant was Ultimate Warrior. And, yeah, they definitely shouldn't have done. They were right not to do, like, SmackDown as Ultimate Warrior and stuff like that because, yeah, risky. But, yeah, that was surreal.
Did I imagine it, or when the replay was on, Vince McMahon was on screen and he was like, look, this is a best of because, you know, details have emerged of what happened.
Yeah.
They just scrapped it all, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember watching the replay because I hadn't found out that stage. I was like, what is he talking about? And then I actually found out on the Adrian and Jeremy show what happened.
Really?
They were talking about it, and it was like, that was the cool thing to do when we were in school. It was like, listen, stay up and listen to Adrian and Jeremy.
That's what I did as well.
Yeah. And so, like, you get to know the loopers that rang in and stuff.
Good old Julian.
Oh my god.
But we had one lad from school who used to always ring in, so we'd be up waiting to listen to see if he rang in again. He was crazy. But yeah, they broke the story, and I was like, what? Oh, so confusing to have them deliver that news to me. Like,
well, what happened for me, I didn't have Sky Sports, so I couldn't watch it, but I watched WWE Experience every week. And, like, again, yeah, the show opened with Vince McMahon saying Chris Benoit never existed, or whatever it was he was saying. And then it just showed SmackDown and ECW, and there was nothing else. It was just like, yep. Yeah. SmackDown and ECW. And I never got to watch ECW as well, because there was never any time for it on the show.
Right.
But weirdly enough, this time it was like, yeah, ECW is mad. But they were just like, yeah, that happened.
That was a journey of an intro. We went from Gay Byrne to Nordy Tato Guy to Adrian and Jeremy to Roz Benoit. Like, whoa, what a start. Guys, and it's been a busy week too as well in the world of wrestling. There's so much we have to talk about. It seems like we say that every week. So look, we're not going to beat around the bush. We're going to talk about Fight Factory. The latest episode was this weekend. Of course, we had New Japan Power Struggle. You're all fucked because that was really good. And we're going to talk about the latest Wednesday Night War, Raw this week, SmackDown as well, the whole Saudi airplane thing. We're going to discuss it all. So let's get right to it. First off, by talking about the news stories that have been attracting our attention, and we're going to kick off as we always do. Give me a lightning hot takes on them, because, ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for
hot takes.
Oh. Getting kicked off with Corbin Keane. Now go. He right, gets so nervous on. When I'm killing him.
Yeah, so mine basically came to me as I was watching NXT. I can't remember the match, but it was Bronson Reed against someone else. That's Jonah Rock.
Same. Bigger Rob.
I can't remember who he was wrestling, but it reminded me of when he was wrestling for OTT. And my hot take is basically that if the rematch between Terry Thatcher and Jonah Rock was to happen again right now, Terry Thatcher would beat the fuck out of Bronson Reed. No butter. I just think he's like, you know what I mean? That was kind of the moment where he kind of like stepped up. And after like, ever since then, you know, it's been like, what, a year and a half now since that match or something like that. Mm. Like, Terry's gone through so much cool shit. Bronson Reed hasn't really stepped up from where he was. And I feel like, especially in a rematch, I think Bronson Reed would probably underestimate him too. And I think Terry would catch him. He'd beat him easily. It's a match I want to see. It's a match I'm raging we never got to see as well. Like, I'm actually salt. Like, when I look at all the matches that, like, rematches we could have got, but people end up getting signed and stuff, that's, for me, like, probably top of the list. Because I really want to see Terry get his revenge. But, fuck it. Yeah, no, I just think he beat the fuck out of him. That's essentially what it is.
You've just done a Declan Byrne. Like, there have been so many things that have happened this week, and your reaction to all of wrestling the past 7 days has been, but what about Terry Thatcher and this random thing that happened?
See, I have no opinion on, like, fucking Eric Rowan being held hostage by the Saudi prince and everything. I'm sure he'd beat the fuck out of him too, you know what I mean? That'd be no butter. But, like, but when I saw Bronson Reed, it just struck a chord to me that, like, you know what I mean?
I'm okay if we, like, make Declan Burning a thing. We're gonna Declan Byrne every week.
You just randomly squeeze in Terry Thatcher or Shamrock Rovers into a comment that has nothing to do with it.
I'm okay with that being a thing. Anyway, moving on. I might take a bit of heat for saying this and addressing this way, but you know what? Like, I'm just gonna say what everyone was thinking. So we'll talk about the Crown Jewel hostage situation. Well, if that's indeed what it was, because we don't know, the airplane delays, and Corey Graves, by the way, if you listen to WWE's new podcast, Corey Graves came out and addressed it directly and was basically saying that a lot of what people are saying are bullshit. He didn't get into the exact specifics of it because he said he doesn't know, but it was actually quite interesting because I know we made fun of him a bit last week because he's like, I'm going to talk about it all and you're going to get it. Now, anyway, first up, Crown Jewel, isn't that amazing? We were making fun of him last week, but he actually did address it, and it was kind of interesting. Check out WWE's podcast. It's at the very start as well if you just want to listen to that clip. But he basically said that, like, it's bullshit what people are saying and whatever. I don't really want to talk about that. What I want to talk about is, and this is what everyone's thinking, and no one wants to say it, so I'll say it regardless, and I'll just take the heat that comes with it. Was anyone else really disappointed on Friday with how it all played out? Like, was anyone, like, what, a bit let down by the whole, like, hostage situation? I'm just saying, like, do you know the way sometimes when a news story breaks on Twitter and you're like, today's going to be mad. Today is going to be fucking mad. And then it's like the SmackDown crew, or the Crown Jewel crew, still haven't left. And SmackDown is tonight and they're running out of time to travel. I'm like, what the fuck is going to happen today? This is going to be gas. Like, and I was waiting. I'm not going to lie, like, I wanted to check Twitter, and I wanted, like, I was in work while all this is happening, and I was like, every time I check my phone, I want to go on Twitter, and I want to, like, don't get me wrong, like, I didn't want to see anyone die.
Oh, that's what it sounds like.
I didn't want to see anyone die. I didn't want to see anyone hurt, well, maimed, maybe. No, I didn't want to see anyone harmed in any way or traumatized or anything, but, like, you know, I wanted to check Twitter and I wanted to, like, see a video from the airport where, like, Randy Orton is at gunpoint and being made to floss or something like that. And I'm like, what's going on? Or, like, Bray Wyatt is, like, held hostage and made to, like, record a video saying Saudi Arabia is a great fucking country and, like, they're a giving people. And then I wanted to see the hot takes where, like, everyone's like, they're out of ruining the Fiend. They've ruined them now. They fucking ruined them. And that's what I wanted from it. I thought this is going to be a mad day. And all it was they haven't got their flight yet. They mightn't get their flight. They didn't get their flight. That's that. And you never got to even, there was no payoff. I'm just saying, like, it was a letdown. Two stars for a hostage situation is all I'm saying. Like, I'm just, look, we're all digging it, right? I'm just saying, we're all like, we all clicked on and we're all like, this is going to be mental. And it was a bit of a letdown is all I'm saying. guys, we're going to discuss it more. We got a question in from Ask Low Blows. We're going to discuss it more in there. But yeah, I'm just making a point. Again, I didn't want anyone to die. I'm glad they all got back safe. But, like, I just wanted a bit more juicy. Do you remember the airplane from hell? Do you remember, like...
Yeah.
When it was, like, there was a mad flight, and then it's, like... All right, what happened? And then it's like, we're still hearing new stories about that flight. And it's like, Ric Flair flashed an air hostess. And then, like, Kurt Angle and Vince McMahon got in a wrestling match. And Undertaker woke up in the middle of it and started on Kurt Angle.
And someone pissed on the floor. Was that Jericho or someone?
Probably. It sounds like a Jericho thing to do. But yeah, there's like loads. There's so many stories still. And I was like, this is going to be that. And it's like, oh, man.
You just got like thinly veiled references on social media. Yeah. Like Rusev tweeted an aeroplane emoji. Like, I was like, here.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, and then it's just a lot of wrestlers complaining about airport travel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm just saying, like, come on, lads, do a bit better. Give me a bit of drama here.
You know what's mad about that, though, is that Terry Thatcher actually, like, plays places and he's just really good. I think he beat the fuck out of Bronson Reed in a rematch. No bother. Like,
if Shamrock Rovers were at that, there would have been mad shit going down. They would have been locked. It would have been gas. I'm just saying, as a, like, two stars, two
also,
and a half at
completely
best.
Completely unrelated, but I just saw it on my phone. I have to mention it, right? Scotty Davis and Jordan Devlin against Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. What the fuck?
Is it happening or...
What is the context to that?
Oh, progress.
It's okay.
Okay.
I didn't know whether you were fantasy booking.
Oh, no. Like, it got announced.
This is Keane's thing. He's just coming up with matches he wants to
see. Oh, yeah. No. Breaking news. I should have said breaking news. Yeah, breaking news. It got announced.
That's
mad.
Cool.
Okay, cool. Well, that's cool. The airport situation, not so much. Anyway, moving on. On to Harvey's latest hot take.
I'm going to preface this by saying that I don't actually have an opinion either way on this. It's just an interesting thing I've noticed
baller.
On Twitter this week.
Yeah, absolute baller. That's all it is. She was saying awful shit about this before we came on.
She has opinions.
I will probably start talking about it and then, like, as a surprise to myself, develop and, like, swing a hard right or left, because that's usually what happens.
It is, to be fair.
I do my thought process out loud, okay? It's just about journalists and their scoops. Because I find wrestling journalism really weird. Because, like, to me, there's part of me is like, oh, but you trying to find out scoops and trying to find scripts and leaks, like, is ruining the show. Like, I hated when I first discovered the internet and, like, people were leaking, like, scripts or, like, so-and-so has been spotted backstage and then they debut and you'd be like, oh, I really wish I didn't know that.
Yeah,
like,
I get that.
So that's why I'm kind of like, oh, I'm not a fan of wrestling journalism. But then I'm like, it's like any other sport or TV show. There's going to be people who want to critique and analyze it. And, you know, I do that for other TV shows and sports. So I understand it. But, like, there's this new thing where people are, like, setting a Patreon. setting up Patreon.
Such as patreon.com/globals. Anyway,
there we go. Where they're, like, basically selling scoops. So you sign up and then, like, they'll give you scoops. And there's one particular one that breaks NXT tryouts and signings. And they broke a signing of Chris Stadletter. Again, we went over before the show.
Chris,
that really, really good American girl. And it turns out she wasn't signed after it had been broken and put all over Twitter. And then, obviously, she had bookings that were then kind of in jeopardy and promoters mailing her being like, what the fuck? The way the guy handled it was really classy. Basically, he refunded everyone's Patreon for that month. Which I thought is something he didn't need to do. He also put out a retraction and an apology. And I thought that was really classy because he spread a false story.
Yeah.
And then immediately did everything in his power to retract it. So I was like, okay, if that's the way journalism go, that's cool.
Yeah.
But then you have the flip side of that where you get like people like Meltzer who double down on their bad stories and their leaks, like the Seth Rollins battle cry speech in the locker room story, where Seth Rollins was just like, bro, that didn't happen. Like, just stop saying it. It's not true. Can't remember the exact wording of the tweet, but it was probably that.
Yeah, it pretty much was that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it was just like, but he just doubles down on stories like that. And he's like, no, it definitely happened. Someone there told me it happened. You, who are also there, are definitely wrong. It's like, Why are you spending this kind of capital and energy on spreading things that aren't true? Or even if you believe them to be true, like, they know better. They were there. Now, he did offer an apology, which is one of the first times I've seen him do that.
Yeah, it was mad. The retraction they put up in there. Like, now, here's the thing. If you know Dave Meltzer, like, he's very... He doesn't like admitting it's wrong. But, like, the retraction he put up, he's like, the Wrestling Observer always admits when we get it wrong. No, you don't! It's literally like a character trait that everyone knows about you. Like,
yeah.
But he did offer an attraction to be, their retraction, to be
yeah,
fair.
Yeah, that is the first one I've seen. Yeah. So, you know, like, I like that. That's responsible journalism. Mm. But then, like, there's this other tiny little part of Twitter about wrestling journalism that are getting angry because there aren't enough scoops. And it's like, you can't create scoops if there are no scoops or if people can't get them. And like, why do you want them so badly? And like, people are going mad at Meltzer because he's not giving any dirt on AEW. And but they're so passionately angry because they're like, it's a new company. There's definitely problems. Mm-hmm. Why have you not told us about the problems? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, like, he doesn't have to. Like, they are his mates. And also, like, there's no rules governing journalism.
Yeah. I get that side. I get their feelings more than the original ones, you know what I mean? Than the first one, like, but like, I get that because like, I understand where they're like, when he's like, the problem with all of this is for me is that we've piss poor standards for wrestling journalism where they're not even double sourcing, they're not even like treble sourcing. Like, in journalism, a basic like tenet of it is that you double and treble source everything before you report it, so you don't just take one person's word for it and then go from there and then just report it as fact. But the problem is that we have, like, that's kind of the standard we have. Like, for example, even talking about the Saudi Arabia thing, why do we not, like, it's a damning indictment of wrestling journalism that we don't know what happened there yet.
Yeah.
And that people are guessing, like, that's what's happening here. Like, it was mental. I did actually retweet something Dave Meltzer said. Now, it wasn't even that he said it. It was just a story in itself where after SmackDown, which we'll talk about, someone put up and it's like, see what happens when you let Triple H run the show. And Meltzer just quote-tweeted him and said, Vince actually wrote that show. You know what I mean? So what's happening is people are just making up the truth because we don't have the truth. And it's like, if this was a real thing, like, look at Donald Trump, for example, like, with real journalists chasing him, it's like, he mentions the Russians in, like, a speech, and then all of a sudden, journalists are in his every orifice, like, looking for dirt, and they managed to get the story, and then there's a congressman now, then there's, like, a tribunal against him, and now he's at risk of being impeached for those things. That's what journalism is supposed to do, unearth the truth. Whereas I think the frustration with wrestling journalism now is that, like, there's weird stuff that we don't know. For example, like, what frustrates me is, like, why are AEW and New Japan not working together? Why is that not happening? There's something there. There's a reason. Like, we saw Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, and the Young Bucks on Wrestle Kingdom this year. And then, like, earlier that week, they announced AEW. Discussions were had. What happened there? We know Dave Meltzer is friends with these people, and he could report it. So, like, he's holding something back. And his job is... And people pay him money every month, and he's quite well off through it, like, to report this stuff, and they're not getting it when we know there's a story. What happened in Saudi Arabia? Like, why is the story that we did get about all of that false? Why is the only bit of information that we have... I'm not paying them. I don't pay for the Wrestling Observer. But why is the only bit of information we have made up? The Seth Rollins speech. That's all we know, and it's not true. you know what I mean? There's a story right there, and nobody is good enough, or nobody is connected enough, or people are protecting, like... The people, like, they're taking money with one hand off fans, and then on the other hand they're protecting their friends.
Ah, okay, I see it your way now. I haven't thought about it like that before. It actually needs to be more like regular journalism. It needs to be better regulated rather than...
Yeah, and just have... Like, if you take money off fans, your loyalty has to be with the people that are paying you. Do you know what I mean? Whereas if I'm someone who's paying him money and I'm like, what's going on? What happened with AEW and New Japan? Why don't they work together? Why is Okada not on AEW Dynamite every week? We know that him and Omega are friends. They had some of the best matches there very recently. They're the best matches of all time. What's happening there? And we don't know.
Yeah, so taking money does change it all.
Do you get me?
Yeah, taking money changes it completely. Yeah. So yeah, the original guy I mentioned where he refunded everyone all, I like that. That's responsible journalism. Yeah, but Meltzer taking money but not reporting everything he knows. Yeah, okay, I have my opinion.
We got there in the
end. I have it now. It's just an interesting thing I noticed this week that I wanted to talk about, because it's weird for me looking in as well, because sometimes I see stuff reported that I know for a fact is false.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know someone in the situation, or I've been there, And then it's like, do you say something? Do you not? Do you correct it? Do you stay quiet and let it work itself out? Or
we see it all the time, even when Irish wrestling, because now there's a scene where there's a group, or there's like a enough of a following where people are actually interested in.
But there's no money involved.
Yeah,
so it's
that's
not
true.
Quite the same.
But like we're also not necessarily journalists. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're involved ourselves. So like, you know, but there's stuff where you see stuff discussed and you're like, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's not even close to being true. I see how you got there, but it's not even nearly the case.
But these are people writing blogs who consider themselves journalists.
Yeah.
So maybe they should be held more accountable for what they're saying.
100%. Like, So it's an interesting one, and it's going to run and run. No, we got there in the end, though. That's the important part. Keane, what are your thoughts? Like, what would Terry Thatcher think of this?
Do you like scoops?
What would you like to see reported about Terry Thatcher's life?
A rematch between him and Bronson Reed. <laughs> To be honest.
That's all you ask.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's all I want to see.
He's a simple man. With simple tastes. Anyway, guys, we're going to talk about the good and the bad from the in-ring this week. Starting with the bad, because, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for...
Say something stupid.
Worst moments of the week. In at number five, Brave again, Corporate Keane, talking about Fight Factory episode 11 this Sunday.
Yeah, look, no, I fucking love Owen Richards to bits. He has changed my life. Those Own Your Destiny seminars are no fucking joke. I've emphasized it to Ben more than enough on commentary. I don't know if he's finally getting the message or not. But
on Loblaws VOD, by the way.
Yeah, on Loblaws VOD. And look, and I love Andy Steele as well. I think the two of them are absolutely there. Like, future Irish Junior Heavyweight Champions, yeah. Without a fucking doubt. But it was like, I don't know, maybe I'm just not seeing it right. You know, but I think trying to break Justy's neck is a little bit too far.
It's not great.
I don't know. I'm kind of like, it's a bit kind of... It's a bit mean, you know. I mean, like, everything else, I'm like, yeah, fair enough. But, like, I don't know, just trying to break his neck, I'm kind of like,
It's a very strong reaction to not liking cheap pops.
Yeah, you know
what
I mean?
It's a very strong reaction.
No, like, is this part of the own, maybe it's chapter 11 of the Own Your Destiny seminar? You know, you kind of have to, like, go...
That's the Patreon. If you subscribe to the Patreon.
Yeah, go, you know, go to extreme measures, what you believe in and stuff, but it's... I just feel there's a couple of steps in between, you know, like, talking out your disagreements and then trying to snap the man's neck. I don't know, it just, I'm just saying, I have my doubts. But I mean, I still support Owen Richards, don't get me wrong, and Andy Steele, but I just have my doubts, that's all it is. I don't know, it might not be the right way to go about it.
Being called into question, look, I strongly disagree, and genuinely, like, you've seen him on Twitter, and that's a shoot, like, just he genuinely... Like, at the doctors all week, like, he's got a bad neck. We know that from the past. Like, we know he broke his neck before. So, I don't know, like, maybe it was misguided, maybe it was a bit far. But, look, we've addressed it internally with Owen Richards, and it'll be dealt with. So, maybe or maybe not, we will address that more publicly in the future. It did go a bit too far, though, on Sunday. Hands up there. Anyway, in at number four, let's talk about Raw. And I liked this segment overall. And we're going to talk more about the NXT invasion, because, like, it was one of the best things of the week. So that's why I'm putting it low and saying something stupid, because it's just a really tiny nitpicky thing. But, like, the NXT invasion on Raw, and I liked even the Rollins-Triple H promo. I thought that was very good. Seth Rollins needs something. We need to, like, we need now to get away from Seth Rollins, locker room leader, company guy, like, and I think he knows that as well. But he needs some direction in, like, on TV, and we need a reason to cheer or boo him or feel strongly about his character and not be thinking about what he's doing on social media again. So him and Triple H kind of having a career recap promo was really strong. Like, Triple H coming out and saying, like, every time you didn't, Seth Rollins, like, I don't know what's next for me. Triple H coming out and saying, like, every time you don't know what's next, I come along and I tell you what's next. And it tends to go quite well for you. First NXT champion, The Shield. The Shield broke up, you were in the Authority. So, like, yeah, look, maybe this is one of those crossroads right here, right now. So where do you stand, first NXT champion? Like, do you want in on that? And then, like, the NXT guys surround the ring and they invade through the crowd and it's a cool moment. And then, like, there's a bit of brawling goes on, like, WWE lads. You kind of get a bit confused for a second and think it's the 24/7 division. And I'm like, not now, R-Truth. Because they all run down and you're like, oh, it's for the brawl, right? Although it would have been hilarious if they had had someone like Roderick Strong just rolls over to him and is like, fuck you. And like the 24/7 divisions go with NXT. But no, they had a brawl around ringside and stuff. But then like eventually more WWE lads came down and they, like I liked as well the way they had the OC get involved. Like, that's a Survivor Series match right there. The OC and Seth Rollins and then someone against the Undisputed Era. I'm into that if that's the way it's going. Like, and then, yeah, the lads ran down to make the save. But for some reason, they focused on Zack Ryder. The camera lingered on him like, get out of here! And it's like, oh, the NXT lads just ran away on Zack Ryder. Like, I don't know why the camera chose to stay there for so long, but now I'm very conscious of it. And even in the background, you just see R-Truth like, yeah! And it's like, oh, lads, you probably could have taken them. I feel like you ran a bit too quickly there. Like, oh, that's not great. Like, it was just a bit random and a bit odd. I did enjoy the segment, like I said, so I'm not going to rag on it too much. Anyway, in at number three, let's talk about AEW this week.
Yeah, so we're getting into that era now where Tony Khan is making himself a bit more known on screen, which is just a little bit when you're pushing Cody and stuff as like the, you know, the authority figure. And it was this really weird and awkward video package that was basically like documenting Mox, Omega, all that whole storyline. And it culminated in this awkward promo where Mox storms into his office. Did you see it?
Yeah.
And the door is shut and they're cutting a promo. Like, John Moxley's promo is convincing.
Yeah, really
he's great
good.
At talking. Yeah. You can, like, even you can't see his face, but you can hear the conviction in his voice. Whereas Tony Khan, you do not hear the same conviction, and you just know he's standing behind the door reading his lines off of a sheet of paper. And the whole gist of it is basically he doesn't want to sanction Omega versus Moxley because, you know, you are the purveyor of violence. And then, like, dramatic pause. And it was just said so weak and so, like, that's not how you speak. That no one actually says them words. Yeah. I know that's a nickname you're trying to push on him. Like, no one says purveyor in real life. So, like, let's not push this.
Yeah.
But he was trying to work it so naturally into this argument. And I was like, no, this is not working for me.
It's a bit like Michael Cole being like, it's boss time. It's like, oh,
yeah.
Stop getting over the branding. Stop making me conscious of that.
Yeah, you're making me feel like this isn't a real conversation you're having, you know? And the content of the promo was really good because it was like, John Moxley's like, you just don't want this to count because you know I'll beat your boy and win-loss records matter here and blah, blah, blah. So, like, there was a lot of good content in it. It's just terribly delivered by Tony Khan and just really awkward. And I'm like, let's not make him like a big dominant authority figure. Like, Cody's good at it.
Yeah.
You know, Cody's good as like that sort of authority figure. We don't need another one. Yeah. So yeah, that was just one thing that really bothered me this morning.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, there's no need for Tony Khan. I like them looming in the background as the Money Men. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't mind them being referenced. I don't mind them being spoken about because we all know the story of AEW and they're a part of that. But like, I don't necessarily.
Don't be a decision maker.
Yeah.
And then that segment went really far into like wins and losses matter, you know, and like, you know, that was a big thing with Mox. Like, my win won't count when I get it, and I love that aspect of it. Then they announced the women's matches for Full Gear today.
Right. Okay, and I haven't seen this.
They announced Rio versus Emi Sakura for the women's title, which is going to be a deadly match.
Is Emi Sakura, isn't like the one that was in like Defiant?
Yeah.
Mad.
Yeah. And she's Rio's trainer. So there's already a really good inbuilt story there.
Oh, she's the one who like did that cute little video where she's like, I can't wait to come over.
Yeah, that's Emi Sakura. She's amazing and she genuinely trained Rio and there's a great organic story there, except they've just put a match graphic on Twitter. What is it? 5 days before the event with no build on the show. And if win losses matter, Emmy's had 3 matches and she's lost 2 of them. So why is she in a title match? And like that kind of ruined the announcement because as soon as it went up on Twitter, it was just loads of people being like, but why?
Yeah.
You know, there's people who are unbeaten in the women's division. There's people who have like a couple of wins. Why is she in the title match?
Yeah.
So it's like they're kind of like saying one thing out of one side of their mouth and then taking it back with the other side.
You could argue, like, I do agree. But it's like the counter argument would be kind of like in UFC, the way like there's wins and losses, but say there's like an old fighter and like they're like a legendary fighter, and they might not be like, you know, they're not like gonna win. You know they're not gonna win the title, but you'll still kind of give them that one chance because they're legendary status.
But that's weak for me. I hear what you're saying, but that's kind of my problem with them doing wins and losses, because it's like when UFC did rankings and they brought them in and they're like, the rankings are what matter now. And then, but the problem was they realized very early that like in some divisions, it's like there's a clear one and two, and then like three is very far off the pack, but one has beaten two like five times and it's not close. Like one is way better than two, and it's like, oh, we have to do 1-7 and now the rankings don't matter. It's the danger when you make it too legitimate, like.
Yeah. And then when you're trying to do the same thing in the same week, when you're trying to make it so strong for one match and then really weak for the next one. And I get what you're saying about the legendary fighter, but I just think it's too early for that kind of thing. Like, you need to start setting precedent that win losses are important and do it all the way through.
Yeah. Like, tell you, if this is the story you want to tell, then get that over first, and then you can do the exceptions later. Yeah. Don't start with the exceptions. I do get that.
They announced Britt Baker and B. Priestley as well.
Okay. Are there... No,
who, deadly match. I can't wait for that.
Who are the people that hate each other? B and who else?
That's them. Oh, Sadie Gibbs. She's had genuine problems.
Yeah.
And
Kylie Rae as well. They had the...
Oh, really?
They had the issues, didn't they? Am I right? I could be misremembering.
I have no idea. I don't know.
They had the issues in the Battle Royal or something like that as well. No, it's not Britt Baker anyway.
I think it was Britt Baker. She got a black eye or a concussion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, okay, there we go.
Baker, well, the whole... like I watched the promo like in McDonald's before I came here. it was... Britt Baker, I think it was Fight for the Fallen, got kicked, like, kneed or kicked in the back of the head by B. Priestley. And she couldn't see out her left eye, apparently.
Yeah.
So she tagged
the wrong side of the ring because of it.
Oh, was that because of that?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I remember laughing at the time, and now I feel really bad.
Yeah, no, I think she genuinely got knocked a bit silly, and she went to the wrong side of the ring.
On a similar note, I want to follow up, but I want to just get thoughts on this. What did we think of the direction they went with Brandy this week? Because we talked about it last week, her strange behaviour. Do you remember they did the video package? She's now a voodoo queen.
Yeah, not loving it.
I can't remember.
It's odd, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not. Like, and it's the fact that we know she's Brandi Rhodes.
Yeah.
It's too quick for that kind of separation and change in my mind.
Yeah.
It's sort of thing where I'll wait to see where it goes before I start saying anything. You know what I mean? I don't remember. What happened?
She's a they basically did a video package where now she's a voodoo queen.
So I think we'll probably find out why, hopefully, over the next few weeks.
I really hope.
If we don't, then it's a bit weird.
I hope they make sense, because I think they still need her as well, like, as Brandy. Like, she's really good, and, like, I hate the way they're trying to make her a wrestler. Like, no offense to her, like, but she's really good as, like, kind of the voice and the face of AEW. Like,
proper sexist. He's being proper sexist, like.
What do you mean?
You're just being proper sexist, like.
I'm saying, like, she's, like, one of the main Red representatives.
Nash. Sexist. Like, sexist, everyone.
You can't just say because I'm talking about a girl.
She should just be a pretty face.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, what's sexist?
Oh, I'm saying that she's... I'm saying she's front of the company, like. She's
White
really good
GM.
At that.
Sexist.
Point to make, I guess. Let's leave it. Let's just leave it. And say, speaking of sexism, Crown Jewel happened. In the number two, let's talk about Crown Jewel. A few things here. Tyson Fury against Braun Strowman. Like, for a start, I love Tyson Fury's entrance, for the record.
That was mad.
It was class.
That was WrestleMania shit.
Yeah, it was really good. And that's why, like, I was... that's kind of the side of me that was positive. That was, like, positive when this Tyson Fury thing first came in. Because he does this shit all the time. Like, he's really entertaining. He's a character, like. And I'm like, yes, that's what it... Why wasn't Tyson Fury that for the whole time, like? And I would have been into it. He's on SmackDown this week as well. And kind of... I'm not mad at it after that entrance. But, like... the fight, it was the shits. And, like, it's one of these things where I almost wish they did push it back to WrestleMania. I know what they're going for. Like, they're like, we've tons of money. Let's just throw it at a big celebrity and be like, we're making a big deal. And it's a nothing match. Like, the finish they did, it was such a cop-out as well. It always was going to be a cop-out because they couldn't have Tyson Fury. They couldn't have Tyson Fury lose because he hasn't lost. You know what I mean? Yeah, he's never lost.
He's an undefeated boxer.
He's undefeated, yeah.
Risky little game then, becoming a wrestler, isn't it?
Yeah, this, like, is it exactly. Like, so, like, that they could never go that way with it, like, because he's undefeated.
I can't believe he's undefeated. How do I never know that? Like,
because, like, he's gotten hidings before, like, but he's never lost. Like, he's famous for his most recent famous fight would be he did the Undertaker sit up in the middle of an actual boxing match. He got knocked out and everyone thought he was knocked out, and then at like 8 he just like literally sat straight up.
I need to look that up.
It's fucking cool. Like, it's fucking cool. But like, yeah, so they couldn't have him lose and they couldn't have Strowman get the shit kicked out of him either, because he's got to come to work then the next day. So like, I get what they were going for. Tyson Fury punched them, and that's obviously going to be a knockout. Braun Strowman was knocked out, but outside the ring, so he didn't get pinned. And then Strowman hits him with a power slam. He gets his heat back. But it's like, lads, like, if you're giving yourself a bigger runway to this, like, this could have been a 6-month feud.
Did you see that happen after the match, though?
What?
When he got slammed, and Tyson Fury gets straight back up. And then Corey Graves is like, he just doesn't know what he's been hit with. It's just rocked him silly.
I actually liked as well on the Corey Graves podcast. Like, he is starting to come out of his shell a bit. Like, he did shit on the Lashley and Rusev thing. Like, he's like, you know, just let them wrestle, lads. Just let them wrestle. Like, I don't want this. Like, and then, like, he also kind of shit until he damns the Fury Strowman thing, where he's like, it wasn't as terrible as I thought it was going to be. So it is actually a decent listen while we're mentioning it. Also as well, like, I got into the whole Mansoor thing when he won the Battle Royal, and I could believe that he could win a Battle Royal, because, like, you know, anyone can get lucky on a night, but, like, it's hard to buy when then, like, he goes back to America and then he's like a jobber, essentially, you know, which is, like, given his skill level, he is probably right. But then, like, he becomes this amazing wrestler once he's in Saudi Arabia. Like, it's just, it wears a little tin on me. I would have liked to see him beating Cesaro just cleanly. It's like, no, stop, you're just doing the hometown. Like, don't show me this. Put this on the pre-show. Put this as, like, a dark match or something where I can't see it. Give the crowd their props, whatever. But, like, no, it's bollocks. Like, and I can't feel the emotion you want me to feel. Like,
speaking of that, did you see what he tweeted after Saudi Arabia?
No.
It's exactly along your lines. So he retweeted Brock Lesnar putting Rey Mysterio through a table, was it? Is that who it is?
Mm.
Brock Lesnar putting someone through a table, I can't see. And he just retweeted and just said, you just made a powerful in Saudi Arabia enemy, Brock Lesnar. I popped so hard for that when I saw
it. Okay, like, I'm flipping that. That's awesome.
I love this. I thought this was the funniest thing ever, because he comes out with his, like, shite jobber music. Do you know what I mean? If he doesn't, like, look like... I don't mean that, like, in an insulting way, but he doesn't, like, come across like a star. He's not, you know, a well-known big name. He just...
Yeah.
This lad who just in this one place, everyone's like, yeah, it's like Sean Deng in Low Blows. He's the Sean Deng of
Fight Factory Dark Match.
Yeah.
He's Sean Deng in Low Blows. He's unknown at Fight Factory, and he's Steve Savage in Limerick. All together.
Oh, sorry, it's actually him getting put through the table. That makes more sense.
Right.
You sound so old when you're saying that. I can't see.
that was Crown Jewel. In a number one, and this may surprise some people, especially considering what it's talking about, it's New Japan Power Struggle. And it's when they set up the main event for Wrestle Kingdom 14, which is really disappointing. Now, don't get me wrong, a lot of people are like, they ruined it, I don't want to see this now. No, like... It's class. So it's going exactly where we thought it was going. It's going to be a four-way, basically, mini tournament over the two nights, because Wrestle Kingdom is on Saturday and Sunday this year. By the way, we're going to have an announcement about what we're doing very shortly coming up. Not tonight, but very shortly. Keep an eye on our social media and on the show for that. But they're doing two nights. And a few months ago, Naito came out. I've explained this, so I'll just run through it again if you missed it. Naito came out and said, I want to be Intercontinental Champion, and I want to challenge the winner of the IWG. I want to basically leave Wrestle Kingdom weekend as double champion. I want to challenge the winner of the main IWGP Championship match. Jay White beat him for the title since, and then said, haha, I'm going to do exactly that. Now that's my plan. And then Kota Ibushi and Okada are wrestling, and so you're like, right, the winner of them faces the winner of that, and then you get a double champion. Whatever happens at the end of the weekend, we're getting a double champion. It's a great concept. I love it. I'm all about this kind of stuff. Personally, I'm mad for this idea. I think, like, as well, with the US title being introduced as kind of it's the same as the IC title. I'd say, like, I'm happy with it. Like, so, but like they did it, they had to set it up, like, because they've been tiptoeing around it and building towards it, but they hadn't announced it, and this was the time they were announced it. Jay White beat Ghetto for the Intercontinental Championship, and then like Naito came out and basically said, how about me and you wrestle first night of Wrestle Kingdom, winner fights for the IWGP belt. They're like, Naito's like, no, or White is like, I don't want to wrestle you, I don't have to wrestle you, so I think I'm just going to challenge the winner in general. And then like Kota Ibushi came out and basically just was like really apathetic about it. I was just like, yeah, cool. Yeah. Yeah. I'll do whatever. Like, if everyone else wants to do it, it's like, you know, Kota's that really nice guy who like doesn't want to like argue about what chipper we're ordering from because he's just hungry. So he's like, I'll just eat what everyone else is eating. I'll just go with it. Like, whatever you guys want, I'll do. And then Okada comes out and like Okada gets a big pop. And then like, you know, this should be this really cool moment, but they're also coming out to no music, and they're just like, it's not feeling big at all. It's not feeling like how it should feel. And Okada comes out and he's like making jokes about the whole thing. He's like, I don't really give a crap about being the IC champion, which is a weird way to go about that whole scenario as well. And then he's like, hey Naito, why don't we do an internet poll? You know how they go. Naito lost an internet poll a few weeks ago. Yeah, a few years ago. If you know Naito's story, if you don't, listen back to all Low Blows. He explained it there. And then like he just goes, yeah, cool, whatevs. And then like Okada walks off, and then Ibushi walks off, and then like they have to walk off in the same direction, and their opponents like heading into
when
it.
When you say bye to someone and you're walking away, yeah, walking in the same direction.
And then Naito and Jay White are left in the ring, and Jay White's like, what do you want? What do you want? Like, I won the match. I want my confetti. Like, fuck off. He's like, we're not fighting now. What do you want? And then it's like they didn't plan any of this. It's like they just go out, it's like, we'll wing it. We all know each other well enough. We'll wing it, lads. It'd be grand. And then they didn't plan. And then Naito just, like, slowly got out of the ring, but so slowly that you're like, he's getting back in, right, isn't he? And then, like, confetti goes off and Jay White's music hits, and then for some reason Naito was walking away in the background, and the camera just makes sure to follow him walking up the ramp, and then he stops at the ramp and then just looks backward, but they don't like do a close-up shot of him. They're still just focusing on Jay White, but you can see Naito in the background, and you're like, what's he doing at the top of the is he looking, is he there, like, is he coming back, like, he has to be running, like, what are they doing? And then the show just went off the air, and that was it. And it's like, lads, that was terrible. Like, that was fucking awful. It's such an easy concept that they must have just went out and be like, this sells itself. It doesn't sell itself. You need to do a bit, like, and if you do it really badly, it does the opposite. It makes people go, oh, now I feel kind of awkward around these four guys. It was really, really bad, and I have no idea why it happened. The tiniest bit of planning, because it does. It's such an easy feud to sell. Just don't fuck it up. Unfortunately, night one of this feud being official, they fucked it up. Let's hope they pull it back together. Guys, I need to get positive, so let's move on to the good from the week, because, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for... Oh, crap, it's me again, and my voice is going. I'll talk about the good from Crown Jewel really quickly. The Fiend winning was cool, right? It should have happened at Hell in a Cell. They're just undoing their mistakes, so I was fine with it. It wasn't an amazing match or anything. Like, it was grand. And now I feel like, okay, I can get back into The Fiend. Like, seeing the imagery of him with the title belt and stuff is cool. I'm like, I don't know where they're going to go with the belt. I don't know. It feels different now with him having the belt. Like, it feels like, what? How does that work now? Do you know what I mean? Like, is there rematch clauses when he Firefly Funhouse?
There's gonna be contract signings with The Fiend in there in a suit, kind of like, all right.
I really want to see that. Yeah, exactly. But it's interesting, and I'm interested. Now, I want to actually give positive, and I'm not being like a WWE apologist or anything here, but I do want to give credit. They did have the first ever women's match. You may have heard. Because they wouldn't shut the fuck up about it. Like they do when they do anything with women.
Bit sexist.
Stop trying to get me in a scandal.
I'm sorry.
They don't, but they do. Like, look, ultimately, yeah, I get why people are feeling this way about it. Because when WWE like are like, look at what we did. Look at what we did. Look at us being good to women. Like, I get it. They do that a lot. And they overbear it. And they kind of take the good out of it when something happens. But I'm going to talk about Lacey and Natalya, because you could tell when you watched that match that they bought into what they were doing. And they believed in it. Like, when they were coming out doing entrances and stuff like that, it felt different as well, because they had to obviously dress up. Like, they couldn't, like, wear, they had to wear sleeves and stuff like that as well. It felt different. It felt historic. And it felt like something was happening, because they bought into it so much. Like, they broke character, and they're just, like, smiling at each other and, like, we're doing something cool here. And then, like it's cheesy and it's, like, it's hammy and it's in your face, but it also is true. It's real. Like, they cut to women in the crowd and they were, like, showing, like, kind of, you know, like, this is meaning something to them. Whatever it is, they're, like, women genuinely aren't allowed to do this kind of stuff in my country, and yet here I am watching it happen. Like, that shit, like, that meant something to them. So, like, while I get where people's issues lie with it, I did feel the same. I did feel that cynicism. It is hard not to feel it, because WWE are very backstabby when they do something like this. When you watch the play out, for me, I don't know, I felt positive. Did anyone else, or do you guys get a chance to see it? Or?
Oh, no, I'm still flat out refusing to watch Saudi events.
That's fair. You weren't sold by the historic women's thing happening?
No, I understand what you're saying, and I understand it probably did mean a lot to the little girls in the crowd. Yeah. I just have, like, a deep, very strong feeling that they shouldn't be there, and, like, it shouldn't be happening.
I think a lot of them feel like they shouldn't be there after, like, being trapped there for a while. So I don't think you're alone in that. Did you get a chance to see any of it?
I am. No, I was outright protesting that show, except for the Fiends match, Brock and Kane, and Mansoor's match. Besides that, I was protesting heavy. I was
like, I'm not protesting.
I'm not. Nope, I stood my ground, is what I'm saying.
You showed them. You showed them. I enjoyed it, I have to say, and I thought they did well. It was on them to carry the moment. And, like, you know, if they'd have just come out, like, they could have made a balls of it, and they could have made it seem as cheap as maybe it could have been. But they carried it well, and credit to them. They can only do what they can only work with what they're given. They were given that, and they did well. In at number, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We've 6 more to go. Jesus, it's been a busy week. Let's talk about NXT. And, like, this is really good, so it's mad. It's just been a crazy week.
Yeah. Again, memory not the freshest, so feel free to fill me in if I'm leaving shit out. Basically, first thing I want to mention, Balor cut a deadly promo. Like, it was I woke up Thursday morning, and Moxie and Ambrose, it was like battle of the promos. It was kind of like, that was like, that. It felt like the NXT counterpart of AEW, if that makes sense. Or Balor came out and he had this level of viciousness that we've just never seen from him in WWE.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I don't watch the business watches me. I was like, oh, that is cool. And I don't want every week for me to be like, oh, Balor, but it's just, if it is deadly, it's deadly. There's nothing I can do about that, you know what I mean?
I don't think many would disagree.
Yeah, like, it was really, really good.
He was full on Prince Devitt Balor. Like, he was that guy. That guy is so fucking good.
And it was a perfect follow-up from last week. Do you know what I mean? Because last week, you want more and you want to see where it goes. And without giving too much away, you know, he didn't brawl, he didn't have a match. It's still left you satisfied, but also wanted more.
Yeah, it was
cool.
Really quick as well.
Yeah, it was like 3 minutes.
3 minutes, to the point, badass, charismatic, different, boom. I'm watching next week.
Yeah,
fuck this.
I'm really excited for tomorrow to watch it. Another thing I'm excited about is there was a big brawl. I'm not even going to bother trying to describe it. I can't remember who was on what side or what. Any of you remember?
Bianca Belair is bad now. I think she's with Kairi Sane.
Has she not always been bad?
In fairness to her, right? She was always true
to
herself.
Evil. Like, she's a heel now.
But
I thought she was always a heel.
Well,
was she not against Shane? Was she was a face?
No, she was a face, but she was always herself. Like, it wasn't like you're kind of right in what you're saying. It was like she never really changed. It was more who she faced. So
right.
Yeah.
So what's her? Well, there was a big brawl anyway. Lots of the women on NXT. Horsewomen. Io was in there. I think was Candice in there. Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox. I think they were in there. You know.
Yeah.
Big
Rhea Ripley was in there as well, wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think it's... I can't remember right. But anyway, look, there was a lot of people brawling, and everyone, the crowd, are chanting, War Games, War Games. And then, I just fucking love it. William Regal just grabs the mic and he's like, there's one way we can solve this. War Games, and everyone's just like, yeah. It's fucking kill, man. William Regal is just one of the absolute fucking best authority figures in wrestling today. Like, yeah. Love him to fucking bits. It was just it's so satisfying. And somebody made a compilation of him declaring War Games the 3 or 4 times he's done it so far, and it's just the same thing over and over again. It's like him going War Games, and you're like, it just gets you more hype because it's him.
What's the caption? It's just like Regal saying War Games is my new kink. It's hilarious. it was fantastic.
But yeah, it was really good. And again, another thing to look forward to. So yeah,
you know, we'll talk about this more in when we talk about SmackDown and all the goods from that. But like, what I love about what WWE is doing now with the invasion thing is NXT, like, it's such good advertisement for NXT. Like, this is, you're crazy if you think this isn't about the AEW war. Do you know what I mean? This is why they're doing, like, NXT are a part of this. Because they're putting now NXT wrestlers on Fox. They're putting them on the main show on the USA Network. They're advertising the shit out of them. And, like, this is turning into a fight now. And I can't wait to see, like, how it's reflecting the ratings. I'm buying into this now. I can't wait for NXT this week. I can't wait to see. I'm in work late tomorrow, so I'm tempted to stay up. And I want to watch the two of them together and see, like, how they counter each other and so on, because it's a proper fight now. They're getting dirty and it's fucking great. We are the fucking winners here. But in at number 5, let's talk about the good from AEW.
I've talked about before about how much I love the tag team emphasis in AEW, because it's my favorite kind of wrestling. So they crowned their tag champions SCU.
Yeah, you're fucking great. All right, yeah, fantastic.
Yeah,
right,
thanks,
cool.
Thanks for that, Kazarian, for pumping up my draft.
If you haven't heard, Katie made a transfer last week in our Low Blows Fantasy League, and she transferred in Kazarian, and he won the tag team.
He won the tag titles, and you tried to talk me out of it, and I held true, and I stayed, you know, true to my gut.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay.
But they won the tag titles. I think that's a really good choice of champion to start off with. And, like, Scorpio Sky is an absolute star now. Like, he just built through the tournament. They also had the Rock and Roll Express on, which I love this. I don't know how other people feel about it. One thing I love about AEW is they're a new company, but they lean heavily on the past, and I think it gives them a bit more of a grounding and a bit more gravitas. Yeah. So they'd Rock and Roll Express talking about, like, the history of the building they were in, the history of tag team wrestling, and, like, really cool. Like, even if you don't know these guys, you know they're a big deal by the way they're talking and, you know, all the history. Mm. And then they just get bet up, and a 67-year-old gets put through a stage. And, I don't know why I loved it so much, but I did, because I was just really unexpected. It's like when Mae Young gets put through a table. You're like, you shouldn't do that to the elderly, but it's also cool.
But still, do it again.
Yeah. And again, it's just building up tag teams, isn't it? So, like, I loved it. It's just a little thing that I loved, like, bringing back the oldies and, like, just having them serve a purpose.
Yeah, it was. It was really good. As well, like, here's the thing. In the past few weeks, the Rock and Roll Express have become, like, the most relevant people in all of wrestling. In the past few weeks alone, they've been in New Japan, they've been on AEW, and this week, they're on NWA Power. they are crossing brands.
Definitely, like, coming to OTT at some stage.
Oh, man. I'd buy
this
a ticket.
This is more than hype. I want that match.
I want Kings of the North. Just to complete the set, like.
No, Corbin would see that going through a stage, and, like, God knows what would happen to the poor.
I want to see it. The next cage match. Do it, Joe. Do it. It'd be hilarious. They're mad guns. They'll go along with it. In at number 4. Only number 4. And this was a great night. Let's talk about the good from Fight Factory episode 11.
Yeah, so one match that stood out to me for what happened afterwards, more so than anything else, was Michael Mae versus Jay Skillett. Michael Mae lost. I was shocked. I thought Michael Mae had this, to be honest. Like, no disrespect to Jay Skillett, but I was, like, convinced Michael Mae had it.
I think most people did.
And he lost.
Yeah.
And then who comes out to confront Michael Mae about his loss? Tony fucking Kelly. Lads, if you haven't seen Phoenix, like, and what happens down in Phoenix, basically, Phoenix doesn't have Michael Mae. Michael Mae, I don't know if he's ever wrestled for Phoenix. Big Win Mick does all the wrestling down in Phoenix, and it's fucking deadly. It's Michael Mae with Tony Kelly as manager, and what's the end result? Michael Mae wins, hence the name Big Win Mick. It looked like Michael Mae was kind of contemplating it. He doesn't know what way he's going to go yet. If he was smart, he would take Tony up on his offer. That's gonna change the landscape of Fight Factory.
Yeah.
For me. That's like that immediately goes from like, oh, what's Michael May going to do next? Well, he's obviously going to be the Irish Junior Heavyweight Champion.
Because
he's going to immediately be the top lad in the company, I feel.
Yeah.
If like who's going to stop him with Tony in his corner? Tony is like the person to have in your corner. You know, when it comes to like not only talking shit, but just tactics, getting involved, you know what I mean? It's smart, I can't deny it. Like,
the connection there, yeah, like you say, it makes it very interesting. Like, you can, like, a lot of people love Michael May in Fight Factory. He's the hometown guy, he's wrestling the best of the best, you know what I mean? No bullshit about him, no anything. He's just, like, comes in, has amazing matches, does his thing, and represents, and, like...
How cool would Michael May be on NWA?
Why has this not happened? That was nearly my hot take, actually, for this week. Not specifically that, but, like, yeah, why is Michael May...
Get Michael May and Tony Kelly on NWA. That's what I want.
Yeah, why are none of these big promotions, like, taking advantage? Like, there's a hot spot. There's a... Ireland is a hotbed of wrestling right now, and there are so many good unsigned talents here that it's like, lads, like, you have, like, a winning machine here. Like, you have just a healthy talent build. Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying.
That wasn't all. Obviously, the final two matches are worth fucking talking about. The scramble. There was a championship scramble for those of you that weren't there.
So yeah, we better give context on this as well.
A six-way championship scramble. It was Amy Alonzi from Boy and Fabio, LJ Cleary, B Kill, Sammy D, and Dom Tuck. He was robbed. You know, he would have won it. And I've no doubt in my mind. But obviously, he got attacked on zero notice. You know, the bell wasn't even rung, I don't think. He got fucked over, in my opinion.
I agree.
Yeah, and as a GM, you should probably do something about that, but whatever.
I put Dom Tuck in the title match.
Automatic rematch.
Yeah, I agree, actually. Automatic
rematch. So what are we going with? The winner of the winner takes all.
Yeah.
Do I have to give another contract? We've got to stop with the contracts.
No. Mid-card Mafia. Mid-card Mafia, winner takes all? Go on. You have to.
Just throw them in the match.
You have to. Do it.
Oh, I kind of want it now. That's just really fun.
Well, I'll go back to them. I'll give you time to think about that. Clearly, like, an obvious choice for you to make, but I'll give you time to think about it nonetheless. The match was deadly. It was an elimination match.
We have to give context here. It was to crown a new Irish Junior Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah.
So Valkyrie had to relinquish her title beforehand. So a lot of people are confused about that, and we can give a bit more kind of perspective for anyone like who's, because it was a thing that kind of came out of the blue for a lot of people. So like, ultimately what happened there is like, so
she doesn't want to work for Rick because he's sexist.
That's right.
What the actual context is.
Why do I keep doing this?
Why am I sexist now?
I don't know.
Well, it was like that time, you know, I'm not going to bring it up again because you're catching the flack this week. And I'm so...
Oh, remember Katie ate the slaves. Let's do that again.
Let's talk about why Valkyrie vacated the belt.
Okay. That's serious. So this kind of goes back. There's a story here. So, like, when I would have started with Fight Factory, like, on my first show as GM, Valkyrie was, like, my wildcard pick for the Grapple Games match. And let's give perspective to the Grapple Games match and why that happened. And people might notice. So, like, when I came in and we were having kind of preliminary chats about, like, what was happening, like, one of the big problems that was there was that we had an absentee champion who was getting so many opportunities elsewhere that, like, they couldn't make Fight Factory regularly. So, to give some perspective that I don't think you spoke about, the Grapples Game match was, and I'll take the kind of the responsibility for this, it was like, it was the way to kind of try and get our belt back. Because unfortunately, like, even when we announced the match, Jordan was like, so you want the title back? And we were like, yeah. And he's like, what if I don't want to give it up? And they were like, win. But we wanted to get our belt back. And ultimately, Valkyrie was the wildcard pick for that. And the reason that she was because it was what the fans knew and what everyone around her knew, that she was the future. She was the future and she was ready for this. And she proved that she beat Jordan Devlin 1-2. Well, it got a bit awkward after that. But she beat him in the ring to win the belt. And then the world woke up like almost immediately to how good Valkyrie was, which is great, which is what we like at Fight Factory. We're okay with, like, you know, our stars getting opportunities, even if they have to miss shows, because what Fight Factory has built itself on is being able to create new stars over and over and over again. No matter who we had that went off and, like, went on to big things elsewhere, we were able to create and create and create, and that's okay. So when she got more opportunities, she wasn't able to show up as much and defend her belt, which wasn't the initial plan when we had her as champion. I think she's only defended once on episode shows.
Once, yeah.
Yeah, which is just not ideal. And, like, she got this. She got this. And as we were talking about plans, because we wanted to give her an opportunity to kind of be the champion she wanted to be, we were talking about plans. And, like, you've seen it now, like, already, like, the amount of opportunities she's getting elsewhere. And we're like, what about this date? And she's like, I don't know if I can make that. Don't plan around it. What about this date? I don't know. And, like, we're not dicks either. Like, we understand when people get opportunities, we don't want to hold the talent back. So, like, we understand that. But it got to a stage where both sides were like, something's got to happen here. Like, you're not able to do it. And she can't be the champion she wants to be either. So that's where we're at. And that's what happened. And if anyone thought it was a bit random, it was because it kind of came down to the wire, as in, what are we going to do? If you saw me tweeting last week, that's what we were talking about. It's like, what are we going to do with this? We don't necessarily want to go this way, but I think it has to go this way. And Valkyrie agreed herself. And she graciously... Now, her behavior later in the show wasn't great. She did attack
Katie.
Yeah,
I wasn't happy with that.
She did attack Katie.
Probably going to gloss over that. She did attack me.
But, like, it was funny too, but, like... It was a bit funny. It's like, this always happened. Like, why does this always happen to you?
I don't know. Like, I can really I feel a lot of empathy with Becky because, you know, her friends keep turning on her and it seems to keep happening on me
as
well.
Oh, so you're saying, I'm Becky Lynch is what you're saying.
No, I'm saying she'd probably turn on me too.
Oh, okay.
Kick the shit out of me and leave me there.
Like, okay. Literally two people, like, in the space of seconds turn on you.
Seconds. And you know what? My entire family was there. They were seriously disappointed.
I'd say they were in bits laughing.
My mom, me dad, me two brothers, their girlfriends, my three friends from home who haven't seen me wrestle since my very first match nearly 9 years ago. And I was like, I'm back. Arms are feeling great. Come watch me do the wrestling. And I got my head kicked in.
But, yeah, so that's where we're at, and that's why what happened. And if it did seem a bit out of the blue for you guys, it's just because there's been a lot going on behind the scenes. And, look, like, we wish Valkyrie well. And, look, as well, like, just to say, that wasn't the last you see of Valkyrie as well. Like, I think you got that by the well. She'll still be around when she can, but she can't. We need a champion who's going to be there every show and defend the belt and who can carry Fight Factory the way we need them to. And, fortunately, Valkyrie is so in demand everywhere now that she's not able to do that. So now we got a new champion. Anyway, sorry, there's the context.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't going to mention it, but I did think it was funny when, like, Debbie ran in and was, like, calling you, you know, selfish and holding everyone back. Because Ben was there being like, oh, that's so untrue. And I was like, actually, it's a valid point. What do you think? Ben was not happy when I said that, man. He was pretty pissed. So I don't know. But it's just food for thought. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, no, but the main event was fucking mad. It was Club Rock Shandy against Borden Hype for the tag team titles.
Wait, we forgot, we have a new Irish Junior Heavyweight champion.
Oh, I didn't even
We do have a new champion. We had two, actually.
And if you want to know who it is, you can watch it on the Low Blows
VOD.
Yeah,
with that.
I actually don't really want to, you know, just say the results.
That's fair.
Unless I have something to add to it. I don't really. Yeah. Just watch it. It's really good. Main event was Club Rock Shandy versus Morton Hype. Tag titles on the line. And it was just the emotion in this match, you know what I mean? Like, it was personal. You know those sort of, matches where you're like, this isn't, you know, an athletic contest, this is a fight, you know? And then there's, like, titles on the line, there's pride on the line, and there's, like, oh, this is so good. And they've got such good, like, chemistry and stuff, you know what I mean? It's like the tag teams know each other, and even as opponents, it's like they know what they're going to hit before they even hit it, and it's like constant fucking counters and switches of momentum and fucking everything. I don't know. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just really, really, really good. It's like, I'm not just saying this because, like, you know, I work for Fight Factory. I'm genuinely fucking excited for, like, the next show.
Yeah.
Because, it's winner. This is a spoiler, but fuck it. It's winner take all. No, it's not a spoiler.
It's not a spoiler.
Narrows it down.
Well, now it's a spoiler because you've just said you didn't want to spoil who the new junior heavyweight champion is.
Winner take all. For the Irish Junior Heavyweight and the Irish Tag Team titles.
You can do this without spoiling.
Because you don't have to say who has
More Than Hype against Club Rock Shandy.
And someone else.
The other two. LJ Cleary.
Yeah, stop talking!
No, No, because he has to tell everyone he's in the match.
Yeah, but we did. You're going to say it. You're literally going to say
it. No, she wasn't. All right, you just ruined it. You just ruined it.
But that match is already out online. Like, as in, like, people know who's in it. But they don't know which side has the belts.
Oh, right. Yeah. I'm with you.
So it's still a mystery.
Right.
Well, it was a mystery until Rick kind of, like, ruined it by panicking over it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Look, the point is...
I was going to say unless...
The point is, it's going to be a really good match. And I'm looking forward to it. And just overall... Just overall, I had a lot of fun commentating the show. This is actually one like the most fun shows I've ever like got to commentate, and I can't wait for the next one. I'm loving the venue as well.
Yeah,
I'm loving it. It's really kind of like the new like what the lights.
Yeah,
that was mad. Like it felt even though it was the same venue, it felt like a bigger show than the last one.
Yeah,
like it felt like a bigger deal or something.
And you're gonna keep seeing like as long as you guys support, because look, we're a small kind of modest. Company as well, and we rely on your support too. And please support True Eventbrite as well, because like we need to know and want to plan around like what we can add to it, because you see that we're trying to add slowly but surely and make it into a bigger show as well. So please do support on Eventbrite as well, but like it's because of your support, and if you guys continue to support, we'll continue to make it bigger as well. So appreciate people coming out every single show as well. I want to give a shout out to everyone who does. So it's December 29th, episode 12. There will be a 6-man tag in the main event involving wrestlers. On one side and wrestlers on the other, and all the belts will be on the line. The winning team gets all the belts. That's all you need to know. And it's going to be really good. Stay tuned to social media for more tickets. Eventbrite.ie very shortly. Stay tuned, and we'll have updates on here as the weeks go on. How did we do a thing called No Spoiler Mondays for ages? We barely went 5 minutes.
Yeah, I feel like I'm accidentally telling people spoilers all the time now.
In at number 3, it's mad that this is number 3. I want to talk about the Shayna Becky promo. Have we seen this yet? This was fucking unbelievable. Becky Lynch was sitting down to do a promo because they announced the triple threat match. Shut down with Charlie, I want to say. Is it Charlie who's the interviewer on
Charlie Caruso?
Yeah, but like... Oh no, you're going to say I'm sexist. I always get her and the other backstage interviewer mixed up.
Kayla Braxton?
Is that another one?
That's two, yeah.
What about Daka or...
Dasha,
that's the one.
She's gone, isn't she?
Is she?
In AEW now?
Is she?
I thought Dasha left. Yeah.
Okay, maybe she is. I don't know. She sat down with the interviewer. And they were doing a promo on the Triple Threat match. And then in the middle of it, you just hear a voice in the background. She's like, do you mind if I... And then, like, it was so good because, like, the camera stayed steady. And then you could just see, like, you knew who it was. But, like, they just gave you a second to, like, process it. The camera stayed steady and you could only see the leather jacket and the belt. And then she sits down and Shayna Baszler sits across you. It's like, nice to meet you. And Becky's like, pleasure to meet you. And just like, it was so good. And it's all you need to do sometimes. Like, if you've got two good wrestlers, you just need to put them across from each other and let our imaginations do the rest. And they're just like, I can't wait to have a match. And also, it was really funny because they're like, oh, we're going to have a match. And also, Bayley's going to be there. And they just are kind of like, I really want to see this match. Oh, I have to get Bayley in, yeah. It's like, it's really good. And now I'm dying for this match. I've no idea which way it's going to go. I can talk myself into any possible outcome. Like, because Bayley's going to have something to say about that. Like, it was done very obviously in a way where it gave Bayley something to be like, are you forgetting about me, lads? Like, it was fantastic. And like, I love small, like, things like that, that where you're not going outlandish. You don't have to do a big dramatic contract signing. You don't have to do a stupid, like, affair storyline with Rusev and Lashley. You don't have to go over the top. Sometimes you just have to have two great wrestlers sit across from each other and be like, let's fucking fight. And that's what that was. And I'm so in for that match. I'm all over it. And the reaction online, even since it's happened, people hate WWE and then they go and do something like that and they're like, yeah, I want to see that match. It's really good. I cannot wait. But my personal favorite thing of the week was in at number 2, New Japan. The Wrestle Kingdom card, okay, the main event storyline didn't get off to the best start, but they did some other amazing things. Have you seen the Jericho video that he put out to challenge Tanahashi? It's really fucking good. So they have people that are dressed up as Tanahashi fans, and you just see them fall, like they're dancing in the streets, and like it's like a street party. And then you just like have a camera low at their ankles, and then you just see bodies falling one by one by one, and then a camera cuts up, and Jericho's there, and he's like, the pain maker. Undertaker's coming for you. Wrestle Kingdom, January 5th. And this is like, oh, man, right, that was fucking cool. Oh, like, I really want to like that, but then you went and interviewed Donald Trump Jr. But, like, you're Jericho, like, oh, why are you so class and then so weird at the same time? It was really, like, it was so good. And again, just something simple, just like a video package where it's just a guy cutting a promo on another guy and it's like, yeah, you've sold that match. Yeah, I'm in. Yeah, sign me up. I'm good. There was also other little things. Shibata getting physical again. So it looks like Shibata's not going to come back after all this. It looks like what they're setting up is Kendo against Gedo. Against Goto. For the Never Openweight Championship. But Shibata's going to be in Goto's corner. Because Goto has a storyline where, like, he kind of refocused himself this year. That's why he did so well in the G1. Because he trained over in the LA Dojo, which Shibata runs. So it looks like that's the way it's going to go. They still have time to tell us Shibata's cleared. And it would be so fucking perfect if he was. And if he's not, I'm going to feel kind of disappointed because they teased us. Because again, he got physical and he was just like kind of fighting off Kenta in the main event. Because Jay White's in Bullet Club, Kenta ran down and Shibata's in Goto's corner. And then Shibata runs in and Kenta kicks the shit out of him outside. And like, it's like, oh, stop teasing me with this if you can't pay me off. This is so, I want this so much now. I'm mentally bracing myself for them going, yeah, it's going to be Goto against Kenta. All right, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, Shibata's in his corner. We've seen that before. But look, it was effective, and I did mark out while it was happening. Also, just a few little things as well. You had Shingo Takagi against Suzuki. That seems like it might be a match. Now, they just, like, started having big mad, like, old man forearm battles. Shingo isn't that old. But, like, it's one of those. Do you know when it's just, like, pure strong stuff forearm battles? And, like, just seriously intense stuff that's just, like, do you know in the middle of, like, you know when you get that fight forever feeling where you just want to start saying it? It was that. And it's like, just give me these two at Wrestle Kingdom. I don't need a reason. They're just both fucking badass. I really want to see it. So just a little thing like that, like creating something out of absolutely nothing. But this was amazing. This is something we've waited for a long time. Speaking of people coming back with Shibata and people that we were worried never wrestled again, Hiromu Takahashi was one of those people that when he got injured last year, we thought it was going to be a Shibata-style situation. Because Shibata, like, basically, he did a headbutt on Okada in a match. And, like, it was sick. And you could hear the thud throughout the entire arena. But he finished the match, and it's probably his best match ever. And then after the match, we just got news broken that, like, that's probably his career over. Takahashi, when he got injured, it was very similar. Like, it's just, like, he took a bad bump, but still managed to finish the match. And then afterwards, it's like, oh no, like, his neck is broken, and he could be done. We don't know if he's ever going to come back. And it happened when he was kind of at the peak of his powers. Like, not only was he the guy, he was kind of Daniel Bryan type guy, who the crowd loved, but never seemed to get the big win. Then he finally got the big win, and was like the guy in the junior heavyweight division. And in the middle of that, very similar to Daniel Bryan. Do you remember Daniel Bryan at the Relinquish the Belt? It was very similar to that. And it's like, this is it, he's done. So, and then, like, more positive news has started drip feeding out over the past few months where it's like, he's cleared, he's coming back, it's happening. It's a case of when now. He's released a couple of videos that kind of indicated and gave loose messages to when he's coming back. And people started to get pissed off, like, with the fact that, like, why hasn't he come back now? We know he's cleared 3 months. What's happening here? Will Ospreay had a match with Bushi. And this was, like, sneaky great. Another great Ospreay match, like, just to kind of put a feather in the cap of his Match of the Year award. Like, this is just one of the things where Ospreay's doing it, and New Japan do this all the time, where you're like, I'm not excited about this match on paper. But they were just so creative. Like, there's one stage, Bushi does, like, he sprays mist. At one stage in the match, Ospreay kissed him, and then, like, it's like, why are you kissing him? And then sprayed the mist back into his face, so he took the mist from his mouth, but it didn't work, like, because Bushi wears a mask, so it didn't work fully. So Bushi is, like, selling, Ospreay goes for the Oz cutter, and then Bushi pulls Red Shoes in the way, and Ospreay hits him with, like, just full of cool-ass sequences like that. Really, really good match. Ospreay retains the belt. Afterwards, he's like, looks like I've cleared out the division. And every time Ospreay cuts a promo now, you hear the crowd going, Hiromu, Hiromu, Hiromu. And he just goes, he's not here. And then he's like, he's not here, lads. Like, no. And he does it really convincingly, where it's like, stop. Like, just don't do this to yourselves, lads. And then, like, he goes, oh, well, is anyone going to come out? No? All right, I guess we've cleaned out the division. And then, like, he puts the mic down, and the screen goes black, and a countdown starts. And it's, like, countdown to Time Bomb, and Time Bomb is his nickname, like. And then all of a sudden, like, a cat appears on the screen, and then it's, like, then you see the date, 1-4, and then it's, like, he's coming back at Wrestle Kingdom. Oh, my God, we're not going to see him. Then the lights go on again. You're, like, that's it. And then the lights go dark again. And then all of a sudden, he comes out. He walks, so they faked us out twice on it. And, like, they, like, if you're watching and you're invested, you're into every second of these fake outs. Do you know what I mean? They're working on you. Because you're like, are they doing it now? And then he goes, he's not here. And you're like, oh. And then, like, when they announce he's coming back, he's like, oh, that's amazing, he's back. And then it's like, I guess we're not going to see him. And then it's like, no, wait, oh my God. He comes out. Not only does he come out, but he's just we just remember what a mad cunt he is, right? Because obviously, you come back. It's like you coming back with the after the broken elbows. Do you know what I mean? It's like, there's that party that's a bit worried about the person coming back. It's just natural. When someone's coming back from a serious injury, you're just concerned about him. What does Hiromu do? He, for no reason, throws himself, like, does a bump, like, as if he's been Irish whipped into the railing on the outside. Comes back in the ring and then just takes a back bump just to show that he still can, and then, like, runs into the corner and then, like, does, like, a post in the corner and then, like, sells out like he's after hurting his neck and goes down on the ground for about 5 seconds, and Ospreay's just in there like, what the fuck? And then, like, while he's selling on the ground, like, holding his neck, then all of a sudden he does a Bray Wyatt kind of bridge, and then he just turns around and the music goes off, and then he just goes, like, while he's in the bridge, he just goes, Mike, please. Mike, please. And Ospreay cuts the promo saying he's coming back with Ospreay holding the mic down to him. And Ospreay at this stage is marking out, like, because it's just such a fucking cool moment. It was absolutely amazing. And here's what makes it cooler. This is one of those New Japan moments where the context that you learn afterwards, there's a reason that they saved it for this date. Because when Hiromu came back to New Japan as the Time Bomb, it was 3 years ago, it was with a countdown, and it was at Power Struggle, and it was in the exact same building. And that's why they saved it for this moment, and it's like, perfect. This is just fucking perfect. Everything is right. I get why you did everything the way you did, and it's perfect. And this could main event. Like, this match is that big in people's mind that it could main event. It was awesome. It was awesome to see him. It was awesome to see him as wacky as he could be as well. Like, he didn't come. Do you know the way sometimes when wrestlers come back, they're, like, slightly different? You know what I mean? And it's like, have they changed? Are they going to be safer? Is it going to be different this time? He just came back. He's like, remember how much of a mad cunt I am? And you're like, yes, he's fully back. It was amazing. I loved every second of it. But it was not the best moment of the week, because there could only be one this week. Surprising to many, how could they do it after Crown Jewel and all the bad will they've got, and their wrestlers literally trapped in an airport, though disappointingly, I have to say. I'm doubling down. In at number one, it could only be one. It's SmackDown from last week.
Ah, sometimes I wish I loved anything as much as you love New Japan.
Yeah, fuck.
It's like I don't even watch it. I'm just, like, enthralled in the story, and I know, like, I do tell Phil, like, oh, you know what's on New Japan this week, and he's like, you don't watch it. Yeah, but I know what's happening. I love it. Yeah, SmackDown was just deadly start to finish, and it was that thing where they had to show the script out the window because they had no roster. So it was like, literally, let's just do a load of cool shit and fuck it, we have to, so let's just do it. It was basically like an invasion angle done right, yeah, in one night. So basically, the only male roster members that had left was Sami Zayn, The Miz, Daniel Bryan. That was pretty much it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then obviously the women. So they got a lot of NXT people up, and they just did cool shit. One thing I did laugh at, though, they showed the entirety of the Brock Lesnar match at the start of SmackDown because it was that short.
They were killing time.
And I was worried because they showed the entire match and I was like, they have nothing. Yeah. They have nothing for tonight. This is going to be awful. This is going to be like a best of show.
Yeah.
I was so wrong and I was so happy. Like, stuff I loved. The Miz cutting a deadly promo and being interrupted by Ciampa, of all people, who, like, you know, starts giving him shit, and the Miz like, no, you don't get to give me shit. And it was like the old fiery Miz. He was like, I've been here for 15 years. I'm not acting. This is what I do. Fuck you. It was deadly and had a really good little match.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan, the promo with Triple H and Shawn Michaels where he's looking for a fight.
Oh,
and you're getting
God.
Really intense because you think he's going to fight Triple H and you're like, oh, you know what? They have no roster. He's going to throw on his gear. And then he's like, I don't have my gear with me. Shawn Michaels starts taking off his top and you start being like, they're going to do it. They're going to give us fucking Daniel Bryan and Shawn Michaels. Thank you, Saudi Arabia. Never thought I'd say that. I don't really thank Saudi Arabia. Scratch that. And then it's like that little bit of humor. It's like, oh no, I'm cold. I'm putting this back
on. It's cold in here. No, it's amazing.
No, I love that. You just tell by like looking at Triple H, Shawn Michaels, they're like, we're going to dick tease the fuck out everyone. As soon as he's like, oh, no, put that back on.
But like, I would have been really annoyed if the payoff wasn't as good as it was. Adam Cole, like an NXT title match.
Yes.
And like, what else did they have? Sami Zayn just getting chased around the arena. His promo was deadly. That little sniveling, like, I've been caught out, like, badmouthing the lads. And then they just catch him and chase him. And he's trying to, like, give a peace offering of a flip-flop to Matt Riddle. So, like, obviously Matt Riddle and Keith Lee were the lads who chased him into the ring. And it's like, it's 2-on-1. You should feel a bit sorry for Sami Zayn, but you absolutely do not. You want to see him get the shit kicked out of him. And we've seen it, like... what I was so surprised that NXT went over clean all night.
Yeah.
Like, it was really refreshing and surprising, and it was really, really cool. It was. It felt like a real kind of shake-up night.
Yeah.
Tegan Nox and Rhea Ripley.
Yes!
I was a little bit weird about that because, you know, they're not friends on NXT. But, like, they just decimated Fire and Desire. Mm. And
when
then
Shayna
Baszler coming up at the end of Bayley's match looking like an absolute badass.
Yeah.
That knee she hair, I was like, okay. Everyone else should stop doing knees because that's her thing now.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, it was a deadly episode. I loved everything about it.
It was fantastic. It was just, Sami Zayn, like, I loved just how good he was, like, where he's just like, yeah, look, my shirt, oh, it's in the car, I'll go get it. You know, you guys don't have to come. And then it was just the perfect heel thing where he's just like, huh! And he just starts running and sprints. It was amazing. Oh, like, when the lads have room to breathe and just show how charismatic they are, like, and just the bit of, like, you know, just do stuff, lads. You can just tell. And when you hear the story, Adam Cole on the Corey Graves podcast today, After the Bell, that's the name of it. After the Bell, Adam Cole gave perspective to that. He found out an hour and a half before he had to get his flight. That he was out walking at the time, and he got a text going you might be needed for SmackDown. And then 5 minutes later he got a text going, you are needed for SmackDown, the plane leaves in an hour and a half, get to an airport now. And they got there, like, Shayna Baszler and all got there during the show. They got there during the Brock Lesnar promo.
That's insane.
Like, that's how quickly that show was put together. Brilliant. The best times in wrestling are when shit goes wrong. We always say it, like, the best times.
And Kurt Angle is the Shield's dad. Yeah. Remember, like, everyone got sick, and it was like Kurt Angle was in the Shield, and then fucking Balor and AJ scrapped it out. And
yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
It's the best. It's the best thing in wrestling when shit goes wrong and they have to wing it. Like, it was fantastic. Absolutely loved it. And credit where it's due. On a week people are shitting on WWE, it was a great counterpoint. Anyway, guys, that was the week that was still to come. Survivor Series, the card is starting to take shape. You have Becky Shayna and Bayley announced. Brock against Mysterio. We didn't even get a chance to discuss that. Brock now on Raw. They changed champions.
Oh, yeah, he quit. I forgot he was on SmackDown.
Yeah, they changed champions this week. And, like, we didn't even get to discuss that. Like, the Universal title, is that going to be blue now? It feels weird that being red when SmackDown. Like,
yeah, oh, man, I really hope to make it blue.
Yeah, it's going to bother me because it's like the whole Survivor Series branding is blue, red, and now gold. And then it's like, I'm the blue champion with the red belt. And it's just like, and I wrestle in red too. The lights go all red. It's like, it's weird. Like, but yeah, so we don't know what's going to happen there. Like, who do we think the Fiend's going to. It's going to be the Fiend and Adam Cole. How's that going to work? Like,
surely the murder is Adam Cole.
But, like, I like that story where it was like a Survivor Series match, Team Seth and Raw against Team NXT. I thought that's what they were setting up. And, like, could they do, like, a Stone Cold Steve Austin? I like that as well. Like, it reminded me a bit of the Invasion angle where it's like, whose side is Seth on? Because they didn't commit to that either. Mm. What other matches could we see? Like, could they do a Raw versus SmackDown match? Who else is there? Balor, we haven't even talked about if Balor would get involved as well. Would they get him involved because he's only after coming back down to NXT?
I don't think they will. Yeah. They might though, never know.
Unless they have him leading some sort of NXT thing, but that's very facey.
Yeah.
So it probably wouldn't work.
Yeah, it's mad. Like, there's so much potential. Survivor Series, like, they have just kicked this into gear within a week. And I'm really excited for it. And it's going to be a great night. Our last night of 2019 in Buskers. Tickets available on eventbrite.ie. November 24th from 8 p.m. Guys, we will have some special guests there on the night. We're going to be announcing that coming up within the next week. So stay tuned for that. But until we have our Slow Blows coming up later in the week, we're going to talk more about the Saudi Arabia crown jewel happening. We're also going to talk about pinpoint the exact moments that made us wrestling fans. And we're going to try give a WrestleMania 36 card prediction. So much changes in wrestling now that who the fuck knows what's going to happen this week. But anyway, guys, until then, Katie, do you finally get to have a quiet weekend now after what's been... must be a massive come down for you now after... you've come back to wrestling now, you've come back to Fight Factory. Who are you coming back to this week?
To be honest, it's kind of nice to have a weekend to kind of sit and just assess everything. Because it's been a crazy 2 weeks. I've done 3 matches in 9 days.
Yeah.
After, like, not doing anything for 9 months. So, like... yeah, I'm taking this week off training. I need to reset.
Yeah, you're enjoying it.
But I'm starting to get those, you know, inquiry emails about other countries and, like, other promotions again, which is cool. But awesome. I'm not going to, like, accept it until January.
Okay.
Not NWA yet, but I have been speaking to my good friend there.
Oh.
Our good friend.
Oh.
Oh. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Interesting. Stay tuned.
I'm gonna just work in Ireland for the rest of the year, get some matches under my belt, get back to full steam, and then...
oh, please get booked by NWA, because... no, because that'll make Corbett Keane, it'll split him so bad. It's like the thing I love, and Katie's on it.
It's actually my main goal in wrestling.
If that's not motivation, I don't know what is.
Oh, like, my God. Katie versus Allison Kay would happen at NWA. That'd be so... oh, man, like, the investment I'd have in it, I'd never be cheering aside so hard in my entire life. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, before we go, NWA have a video game coming out. We forgot to talk about that. Yeah, and it's like Super Nintendo Wrestling. It's amazing. It's exactly what you think it is. It is. Check out the ad. Like, that's class. We didn't even get a chance to discuss Power this week. But yeah, they have a video game coming out. It's going to be class. You could be on that. So there you go. Here we go. Corbett Keane, what's going on with you? You're busy.
Nothing. Yeah, so basically, like, for the next, I don't know, 6 weeks or so, I'm just having, like, a new fun, super fun college assignment, 2,000-word essay every week kind of shit. So, yeah, I'm not going to be, my answer's just going to be no for next
week. Well,
your
graphic design, like, you shared that on Twitter today, Corbett Keane on Twitter, if you don't follow him, you probably do. You showed off your graphic design skills today.
Yeah.
Like, with your Tala...
it's actually really depressing. No, no.
Your Tala web.
I have that time to process.
Your Tala pamphlet, like, no, it's really
I made
good.
A brochure for Visit Tala, because basically I have to do an assignment where I show 5 design principles on the... front of a brochure. So things like, I don't even know them. This is why it's so depressing. It's like balance, symmetry, which is the same thing, I think. I don't know. What's it? Like proximity. What's the word? Emphasis. That's the word I was thinking of.
Contrast is one you said.
Contrast,
earlier.
Yeah. And that's all that sort of stuff. So things like that. It's on my Twitter if you
want to
see
it. Why is the square not the center of your visit talent? Because, like, that's hours of endless fun trying to find the way in and out.
First of all, the square is really easy to navigate, and it's a perfect shopping center. Secondly, I actually did try it, and it's really hard to kind of get it where I want it.
Because it's not actually a square, it's a labyrinth.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's a what?
It's the worst shopping center.
Well, that's the correct word, isn't it?
Well, you're objectively wrong, but what's a labyrinth?
A labyrinth is like a maze.
Oh, right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, but it's fun, though. It's a maze full of really good shops that you can go to, and it's really... as far as, like, practical shit, the reason I love the square is because not just because it's in Tala, right? Genuinely... everything you need is there. Like, people, like, it's underrated.
That's what a shopping centre is, yeah?
No, it's not. No, it's not. Have you ever gone to Dundrum? Go have some Burger King in Dundrum.
Dundrum is great.
Go have some Burger King in Dundrum.
I do.
No, you can't. There is no Burger King.
Oh, yeah, five guys.
Go CEX, trade in your fucking whatever Xbox game in Dundrum. Oh, no, you can't. But it's fancy, so people go, oh, Dundrum, amazing. But practically speaking, there's shit missing from it. You know what I mean? Whereas the square...
there's shit missing from Tala because there's so much fucking shoplifting.
Name one thing that's... oh,
like,
right.
Everything in every shop.
No, I mean, like, actual shop.
Actually, I used to go to Tala once a week for about 2 years.
Because it was so good.
No, because I used to run a stall in the car boot sale in the basketball arena.
But why? Because you look...
someone send in a question for our Slow Blows. I think we need to be continued this there, guys. That's the show. We will pick up where we left off on that. That's the show. Until then, until next week. For Katie Harvey, for Corbett Keane, I've been Rick Nash, and that's the bottom line. because Lobo said so.